Lord God, our Father, we appreciate you. And we thank you, Lord God. That's not how our story ended. But 3 days later, you kind of power in your hand. Resurrection power, reconciliation power, redemptive power, for that we turn to grace. And now, Father, be glorified in all the things that is in this thy sanctuary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's sing that again. Come on. Come on, get on your feet. Come on, let's sing that. Sunday it happened. Amen. Amen. But we do know it did happen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's like folks had to get involved. Why do you celebrate Christmas on December 25th? How do you know he was born on that day? I don't. I know he was born. Amen. 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 And so we choose the 25th. Why not? You want to do it on January 1st? Knock yourself out. As long as you know that he was born. Amen. And he lived, and he died, and he rose, and he's coming back. Don't forget the last part. He's coming back. You. Amen. Amen. That's not how the story ends. 3 days later, he rose again. That's love. Hey, I read the text I read was from Isaiah to give you an idea of all the things that our Lord and Savior suffered just for our benefit. Amen. Just for our benefit. And I always like to try to, again, bring a fresh approach to what we call the resurrection story, because it gets to a point where, and I can only imagine that people who have been pastoring longer than I have. I saw the other day we were celebrating a pastor and pastoring for 50 years. Can you imagine preaching the same message for 50 years? Because I told you, there's two things I don't mess with, and that's Christmas and Easter or Resurrection Sunday. Amen. I don't have to look for a text. You say, well, I thought y'all always prayed on your text. No, he gave me that one automatically. Those two you don't mess with. Amen. You just got to pray on Lord how you want me to deliver it. Amen. Amen. But the message that he's not going to change. You know, and so again, this is number 15 for me. And so I went and I searched and I said, so what new can you bring out of these texts of scripture that talks about the day that our Lord and Savior rose up? And so I always ponder things on myself because, again, I'm learning just like you are. Y'all don't believe that. I'm learning just like you all are. Every time I go into this Bible and I begin to read, I find out all of these things about God, and they become afresh to me. Amen? And I love it. Because there is never this book is inexhaustible. Amen. It's like that pastor been pastoring 50 years. He still got new material. Amen. He still got new material. You go back, and I found out folk actually write their dates in there. Because Sister Karen, she called me one day. I preached a text, and she showed me about it. She said, "Look, you already been there, Pastor. Look, you on that date and that day." I said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "I got to be careful. I can't be bringing all this stuff up to this house." See, I mean, she had the date on this date. Now, you didn't use the same word, but just what you. I remember that. I've been using new material ever since. And so I wasn't struggling, because again, I mean, I could just go to Mark and Matthew and just preach the text, you know. Because it's not me, it's the text, it's the Spirit of God. Oh, amen. But I like to challenge myself. So what I thought about was, you know, I thought about the historical context of Jesus Christ. Amen. The historical context of Jesus Christ. Because see, one of the things that challenges even believers, beloved, is the fact that sometimes they doubt. Maybe y'all don't believe that, do you? They doubt that Jesus is who he says he is. Not was, is. And the doubt comes about because of logistics, logic. Amen? And the logical thing is this, is that we talk about the fact that you serve a God that you've never seen. Amen? And so you go back and you begin to look at the historical evidence and the manuscript that you actually have, and you begin to read those. I pray that you do. And that you get to a point where you understand and say, well, there's not a whole lot there that can tell me, you know, that was he really real? But here's the thing that I challenged myself on. There's a whole lot of people that we read about in history that we have less documentation about than we do of Jesus Christ. You understand that? But we actually believe that they lived. And we don't doubt that. We just take it at face value. It was in our history books that most of them were wrong. Columbus did not discover America. Y'all know that? They taught me. Huh? There's a lot of other stuff in there that ain't wasn't right. But you know, we took that stuff at face value and we still run with it. And we don't doubt of those people actually lived and did what they did. And in order for you to understand the faith that we have, you have to not just believe he's real, you have to know he's real. Amen? And you can. Because he is real. And this isn't some spiritual experience that we like to come to, and you know, and then we'll leave. But I'm talking about he was real in the flesh. Amen. And that's what makes this so significant. Remember, I talked to you last week. I said that this was the most significant week. It should be part of your life, this week that he went through as a what? As a human being. And so what I did was I went back. I said, well, Lord, why is Resurrection Sunday so important? And so you'll give me really just about 20 minutes. I'm going to bring this all to a crescendo. I'm going to fine tune it to a point where you can get something out of this, a story out of this, and then we can go and figure out what y'all going to do for Easter brunch. Amen. But I thought about this thing. I said, why is it so significant that we actually get to a point where we understand about Resurrection Sunday? And I said, well, it goes all the way back to the beginning. You got to understand the beginning. Amen. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. And the reason why the resurrection is so important is because of Genesis 1:1. Amen. And what does that say? It says, because in the beginning, God. Amen. That's right. That's it. It goes all the way back to it. It says, in the beginning, God. Got it? That's the part you got to wrestle with. Amen. That he is God. And before there was a beginning, there was a God.
That's right.
Amen. And he only gave us a beginning for us. It wasn't for him. Because he always existed. All of this came about because of us. He wanted us to have this. So in the beginning, God what created the heavens and the earth. He didn't need no heaven. He didn't need no earth. He didn't need anything. But he was God. But in the beginning, God, and if you don't get that point, you can't get to the resurrection. Why? Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 27 of that same chapter, it says, and so God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Amen? So in the beginning, God created all of that. Then he created man and woman. Remember that? And then he did something. You know what he did? He gave them a suggestion. Not really, he gave them a command. And the command is in chapter 2, verse 15, where it says, and the Lord God took the man, which he could, right, because he created him, right, and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Amen? Not a suggestion, a command that he gave to his creation. And you all know what happened in Genesis 3, 17 and 19. God gives Adam some instructions of things that are going to happen because he didn't obey the first instruction that he gave. Amen. And I know Keith likes this part where it says that because you listen to the voice of your wife. And have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. And pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you. And you shall eat of the plants of the field by the sweat of your face. And you shall eat of the bread till you return to the ground. For out of it were you taken, from the dust, and to the dust you shall return. Things are happening now because the God who created everything, that created man and woman, gave them a commandment. They did not obey. They disobeyed the commandment. And so now things are happening to the entire, what? Universe, world, yes. And then in chapter 5 of Genesis, it says this, verse 3. It says, and when Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named his son Seth. And the days of Adam, after he fathered Seth, were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. And here's the key. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Got it? So go to Romans 5. I'm going somewhere. Go to Romans 5. Romans 5, 12. And we read these words. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. Go to 18, same chapter. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. That's why the resurrection is so important. The because of something that happened so, so many years ago by one man, all of us were doomed to condemnation. But because of what one God-man came to do some 2,000 years ago and did, we are no longer under the penalty of sin. Amen? And one day, we will be even removed from the very presence of sin. All because of the resurrection. So how did it all get there? Well, let's go to Mark now. And we'll talk about the resurrection story. And I'll give you your 3 points, and you'll be able to leave a historical account of why we do what we do and why we're so happy that he did what he did, that we might be able to be who we are. Amen? So go to Mark 15. I'm not going to read the whole thing for you, but I know you have and will. Let's start at verse 42, where it says this. It says, and when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him on the tomb that had been cut out of rock, and rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the tomb was and where they had laid him. 16, when the Sabbath had passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early in the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. It was very large, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, dressed in white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. Amen? So I'm going to read. And I just want to give you 3 things to ponder on. I know we pondered all this week about the fact of why this is so significant. 3 things. One, Jesus Christ is real. Amen. He's real. Number 2, Jesus Christ has risen. And number 3, since he has risen, Jesus Christ has reconciled. Amen. He's real. And see, you got to get past the first part is that he's real. And that's why I read the first part of 15 instead of going right into 16. Because, see, in his humanity, he had to do something to rectify what Adam had done. That's why I took you back to Genesis and took you to Romans. He was the what? He was the God-man who was going to come and actually take care of the what? Of the penalty. Amen? For Adam disobeying the command of God. Because without that, we would not be able, got it, to be with God forever. That blessed assurance that we have, that hope that we have, that one day we are going to be with God. Amen. And you don't want to be on the other side of that spectrum. You do not want to be where you are not in the presence of the Lord. And that's even a conflict in terms of where we are, you're going to be in the presence of the Lord. But we're talking about a good presence. Amen. So we can get that, we can get theological on, but you always will be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. But this presence is there in heaven with him forever. reigning with God, right? Joint heir with Jesus the Christ. Amen. Christ was not his name, it was what it was his title. Amen. The Messiah, the one that the people in the Old Testament look forward to, we look back at. Amen. All of that came about because he decided to do what he did. Amen. When they got together and Genesis said, let us create man in our own image, I'm always sure that there was another assembly that got together. And he says, Father, I'll go and redeem those whom you love. Amen. And here's the curious thing, if you want to think about anything, and instead of us always pondering about the fact, was Jesus Christ really real? What I ponder about a lot of times is the fact that he was real and he still loved me. Hey. See, I ponder that, the fact that he was real and still loved me because he knew me. Amen. And still knows me. Amen. I'm not through yet. He's still what? Working on me. Amen. Every day. As a matter of fact, somebody said we should have t-shirts there under construction. Amen. We like 95. They're always building one. Amen. trying to get it right. Always work to be done. But Jesus came down here through 42 generations, which is also another good study you ought to take. Amen. To go through all that. When I stopped in Genesis, a whole lot of stuff happened, all left a mark. Amen. I'm talking about a whole lot of stuff. We're talking about thousands of years going through, and God was able to what? Keep his promise that he made to Abraham. He's going to allow a seed to come through. To keep his promise that he made all the way back in Genesis, that what? That he's going to bruise his what? He's going to crush his head. See, y'all know the story, amen? He kept all that all the way through history that Jesus Christ might come and be born of a virgin named Mary, amen? And live, what, some 33 and a half years to get to this point right here where he can actually give his sinless life for what? Some sinful people. Isn't that amazing? And that he would actually do all of that. And he, again, was real. This is what I want you to understand. He was real. Matter of fact, if people say, well, you just because the Bible. No, there are actually extra biblical curriculum that you can actually read to talk about Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll give you one example. Josephus, amen, a Jewish historian, wrote about Jesus Christ. Amen. And he wrote this back in 116. And he wrote this thing about the fact that he talked about an unlawful execution. And he identified the person who was executed, not as Jesus. He was there talking about the execution of Jesus' brother named James. And he identified James, here's the thing, says, he identified James as the brother of Jesus who was called the Messiah. See? So if James was real, guess what? His brother was real. Again, an account that's not actually in the Bible, but it's in a history book that we believe that all this stuff in history is true, except when it comes to Jesus. Amen. Historical account. James, okay, yeah, he's real. He got crucified, okay. He was the brother of Jesus. Got it? Then there was another brother by the name of Cornelius. I get his last name. It's Tacitus. I had to write that down. Phonetically, Cornelius Tacitus, he was a Roman historian, and he also wrote about the annals of the Imperial Rome. And he wrote this in his annals. He says that there were persons commonly called Christians who were hated by the Roman emperor. And it says that there was a leader, and they named him as Christus, the founder of the name, and he was put to death by Pontius Pilate, the procurator of Judea, in the reign of Tiberius. It's a historical account by a historian. Everybody says it's good, but all of a sudden, they'll believe Julius Caesar, but they won't believe that Jesus was there. No, there is no doubt about it that Jesus Christ was a real man walking on a real world doing some really cool things. Amen? Amen. And the last one I'll give you, his name is Pliny the Younger. He's a Roman historian who they hated, the Christians. And he wrote in his thing about Christ, he says that they're going around and they're singing hymns about Christ as if he is a god. See, all of this historical references that you have access to, amen? Because you have the beautiful internet just like I do, amen? I don't have all these old books in my house. I got the internet now. Amen? And all this historical stuff is there that can be verified, amen? That Jesus Christ was a what? A real human being. And there was a great book out called The Case for Christ. You ever read that? By Lee Strobel. He was a reporter for the Chicago Tribune. His wife had the very blessed event of be getting saved. And he didn't like it because she was going to church and he wanted to hang out and wash his car and have all the good things like that. And then she started bringing the Christian stuff home and he didn't like it and he got really upset. And he was an investigative reporter. So what he decided to do was he was going to go out and get all this evidence and prove that Christ never lived. And guess what he did? He researched all the evidence. He got all the stuff together. He began to go do interviews and all this kind of stuff. He was going over the world and, you know, getting archaeological findings, all of that. And he came back and guess what? He found out that his wife was cool because he got saved. See, that's what happened. You go out there and try to prove that Jesus didn't live and all of a sudden you'll find out that he did live and you'll get saved. Amen. Because the evidence is there that he is real. And don't let the empty grave fool you. That lets you know that he is real. Not that he wasn't real. Amen. No, that he is real. And they are still looking to this day. Bless their souls. For someone they'll never find unless they give their life to Christ. And when they give their life to Christ, they'll find them just like that. Amen. And they'll know that he's real and they can enjoy the life he actually gave. Because here's the thing about it, because this God that I showed you all in the beginning, the ones that don't believe in him, he gave them their life to. And guess what? They're still receiving the same mercy day by day that we're receiving. You understand that? And they're lavishing in his grace and don't even realize it. They're getting all the benefits of the same God we serve. But they won't get the last benefit. Because, beloved, whether you're here or there, and if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is real, you ought to be pitied. Because the best is yet to come. This ain't it. Amen. Yeah, the best is yet when he come back, when he cracked the sky. Now I don't know how it's all going to happen, but I read that when he cracked the sky, everybody's going to be able to see him. Amen. And then they're going to say, "Oh, he's real." Yeah. But then he comes back as your judge. Amen. And some of y'all who've been in court before, help me somebody. Nobody likes to be in front of a judge that don't really got too much fun. Somebody say amen. Amen. Yeah. That's right. And when he says guilty, huh? If somebody says it's over, then you got to pay the penalty of what Adam started and you jump dead head into it, and we're all guilty. Huh? Yeah, but see, I hate that song. Jesus didn't drop no charges. Amen. I know somebody knows this song I'm talking about. He didn't drop no charges. He paid the full penalty, and that's what Isaiah, that's why I read Isaiah, that's what he's talking about. He paid the price. Amen. And he did all of that. And now all he's saying is just believe that I'm real. Repent of your sins, and thou shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from me. Amen. Saved from the wrath to come. And that's what the resurrection actually proved. And Mark, when he talks about how they did all those things and they went, they were preparing his body, and they got there and he wasn't there, what that meant was that, guess what? God accepted the payment. That's why you can't find him. He accepted the payment. Why? Because the payment was death. And what? Jesus is alive. So he paid for the death that we owed. Amen. Yeah, because we all owe death, because we all, I read Romans, you what? We all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. So we all had to pay that, but Jesus paid it. Always said in Jesus, thank you. I receive what you've done for me because you are real in my life. And you're real and you rose up. And that's why you're not there. In his rising, though, this is part of what I'm close on, I want to spend most time on, is that meant that what he did, when he rose up, if you go to 1 Corinthians, I'm not going to go there. If you go to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 8, read it when you get home. When he rose, he didn't just appear to the disciples and the apostles. Paul talks about in that text right there, he said that he appeared to over 500 people. Amen. And he put that text in there for verification because he was writing to a people that were still living at that time that could have went to those 500 people and asked them, did they see Jesus? And they would have confirmed, yes, we did. You got it? So all the Roman armies, all the people could have went to those 500 people and they could have, guess what, talked to real live people who would have told them that Jesus Christ was what? Yet alive, even though you guys crucified. To prove what? That he's God. See, he didn't leave himself without witnesses. Amen? Without proof. Then guess what? That everything he said in the Old Testament came true in the New Testament, and it's still going to come true, what, in the future? That God is still working this thing out. What he's doing now, all he's doing, he's just delaying because of what? He's long-suffering. Amen? And he would not have what? One to perish. And he's waiting for you and you and you and you to what? To come to him so that when he comes back, that he will not be your judge, but he will be your savior. Amen? And his rising proved that. And his reconciliation. Well, what does reconciliation mean? He restored us to what? A right relationship. That relationship that God always wanted us to have. All the way back in the book of Genesis, what? In the Garden of Eden, we were supposed to be there all day long, and had Adam played his cards right, we would have never had to experience the things we're going through today. Don't you understand that? The reason why I read that part to you about it says that Adam lived 900 some years and then he died. Forget the 900 years. He died. That's what I want you to understand. We would have never had to taste the sting of death. The home going through, all the ones we've gone through, my mom, my dad, your mom, you know, all those things we went through why? Because of what Adam did. That would have never been. Resurrection means that one day it will never be again.
Amen. Amen.
That's what it means. It means we will never have a home-going service anymore. That's what resurrection means. You won't have to worry about getting vaccinated from anything. Amen?
Amen.
At all. Done. CVS, out of business. No more prescriptions. You don't need that stuff. No more high blood pressure. You know, because most of y'all, some of y'all,
A lot of y'all.
Y'all take that Lipitor daily. Come on now. Just so you can have some of that Oscar Mayer. If you cut back on the Oscar Mayer, you might be able to cut back on the Lipitor. That's another story, amen? But when you get to heaven, because of the resurrection, you won't need any of that medicine. Doctors, out of business. Everybody done. It's going to go back to the way God always intended it to be because of the resurrection. What a day. What a joy. Somebody said, that all that day when we get to heaven? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will what? Sing and shout the victory. What? Over death. That's what it's all about, that thing, death. Amen? The last enemy, Christ conquered when he got up. That's what that means. And the reconciliation means that guess what? He has put it back in a right. He has restored in us a right relationship with God. That means that we exist in harmony now with God. It also means that we, guess what? We make one consistent effort to live a life pleasing to God because of who we are now in Christ. The reconciliation text I was going to read to you all is 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 21. I think I'm going to read that. No, I got about 4 or 5 of them. There's so many texts of scripture about reconciliation. Amen? But 2 Corinthians 5:17, I think it does it best when it says that, therefore, if any man be what? In Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. Look, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us now the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, see, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, look, be reconciled to God. Yes. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Yeah. That's what Easter, that's what Resurrection Sunday is really all about, is the fact that there is a real God who loves you more than life itself. Amen? He's real. Stop doubting the fact that, no, he's real. Amen? He's real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, yeah. He gave me the victory. So many people doubt it. I can't live without it. That is why I love him so, because he's real. And you got to know that. Deep down in the recesses of your heart, you got to know that he is real. Amen? And because he is real, he rose up, because he died. He did die. That's why Pilate had to check with the centurion to make sure what? Is he really dead? That's why, see, when you read the Bible, that's why that was put there, so you'll know he actually died. Because see, some of us get to know he wasn't really dead. No, he actually died. Another text says, one of the centurions went out and took a spear and put it through his side. And poured it back out, and water and blood came out of him. Yes, he is God. Always will be God. But he was totally human, and he died. Why? Because he had to pay our sin debt. And because he did what he did and rose on that third day, he was able to reconcile us back to God. And that's why we can have what? Faith, hope, and love And the greatest of these is love. Why? Because love died just for you. Amen? Yeah. The other says faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Why? Because God is love. And God died just for you. And because we now have faith in him, we have hope in tomorrow that, guess what? This place is not our home. No matter how bad you got it right now, guess what? You okay. You know why? Because you believe in Christ. Amen? And Christ actually believes in you. Amen? Yeah, he does. You know why? Because he's in you. And he is going to take care of you. Not just on this Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We ain't always together, right? Friday. Saturday. See, y'all feeling good right now that we're here together. But see, guess what? Y'all got to go home. Amen? And sometimes home ain't where the heart is, home is where the trouble is. Tell me somebody. Amen? And things get real at home, amen? But Jesus is just as real at home as he is in his sanctuary. Amen? When we hear these songs and we get excited about that, we come together, we pray, we get all excited about that, you should have that same kind of worship experience in your home. Because he's there, amen? And he's just as real there as he is here, amen? Oh, yes, he is. And he has risen. And here's your promise. And guess what? Because he rose, one day you will too. Amen? The grave will not be your home. Amen? Now, if he delays coming back, we're going to have a grave that we're going to, but it ain't going to be our home. Amen? Because I read this Bible, that the apple of the body be what? And he ain't in the ground. Not be somebody. If you press with the Lord, amen, you ain't in the ground, amen. That's just your remains, amen, that he's going to use one day when he comes back. He's going to what? Raise up that body, amen, and your spirit's going to collect with that, and you're going to reign with them forever. Why? Because you've been reconciled. You've been reconciled through Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, amen. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I got so many songs in my head about that. Oh, the blood. Amen. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what we're doing? And see, we are reminded of that day by doing communion. Amen. That's what communion is all about. Jesus let them know. Look, I'm leaving this so that you will always remember. He says, what? As often as you do this in remembrance of me. So what a day today. We get to celebrate the resurrection and do communion all on the exact same day. Why? So that God can let you know that he was real, he rose up, he reconciled us, and because of that, you have been redeemed. I ain't got time for that, my fourth part. That redemption part. I'm going to get that part in there. Y'all got a little sleep on that. The redemption piece. Amen. That you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. The what? The sinless Lamb. What did John say? He said, there goes what? Y'all don't remember that one? The Lamb of who? Who does what? The sin of the world. He's talking about my sin. He's talking about your sin. And Jesus came that he might take those sins away, that you might be what? That you might be redeemed. Born, somebody said, what? Somebody said, born with a what? A price. A precious blood. Amen. Not a corruptible seed. I can go to part two right there, but my Bible is closed. I couldn't already shut you down. I just get excited because of the fact that I know he's real. But I know I got released this pulpit to Brother Elder Eric Bradshaw. So we're going to give y'all community. But I'm telling y'all, don't just think about the resurrection side. Amen. Every day of your life.
Amen.
Amen. You should be jumping for joy because the victory is actually already yours. Father, we thank you for the simplicity of your gospel. We thank you for how you showed us in these gospels, oh God, that you died and you rose early on that third day morning. And that when they went to the tomb, you weren't there, oh God, because you had risen. You had done all that you had come here to do. And now, oh God, all you are asking us to do is to have faith and believe that you are real, real inside of our lives, oh God. And that you died for us and that you rose with all power in your hand, resurrection power. And then you ascended into heaven, coming back one day for your trip that was far over. But God, you've done what you said you were going to do. You reconciled us. You reconciled us to the holy God, the one who said in the beginning, was God. You reconciled us to an awesome and holy, only true and living God. Because we had fallen short of the glory of God. We had sinned, and because sin, when death came in, oh God, you took the sting out of death. Oh, death, where is thy sting, oh God? And that's why we don't have funerals, God. That's why we have home goings, oh God. Because we know that the only thing that remains here is the remains. But our spirit is present with you when we are not here. We thank you for that promise, oh God. That one day we will see loved ones again. Why? Because you were the first fruit of the resurrection, and we too shall be resurrected one day and to be with you forever. We thank you for this resurrection Sunday. We thank you for this Easter day. We thank you, oh God, just for being who you are. And now, God, may we now just remember this on days like this. But every day of our life, may we always remember the price you paid, that we might have a right to the tree of life. We pray this in Jesus' name. And we say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Give God some praise. Y'all, this is all yours, brother.